services are very special events. We just don't do them very often. And it is really a joy to be a part of that. So thank you for inviting me to lead us in the Word today. I think it's important for us to consider what it is that God actually says a minute. Let's think about that for a little moment together before we actually ordain Andy, and then I'll be sharing a little bit more a little bit later on in the service this afternoon. Now, since the beginning of the church, really, after Jesus went back to heaven and gave us the Holy Spirit, and then the church was established. So since the beginning of the church, Jesus himself, through his Word and Spirit, he has gathered and preserved for him men to lead his church in the office of a minister. Now, we are all of us who believe in Jesus are called to be prophets, to be priests, to be kings with him, but to some, he has entrusted special tasks. And so the Apostle Paul says that Christ appointed some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until that day when we reach the unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so God gives these special office bearers work to do. And we see as they do their work, God himself providing for his people because he loves them. So by God's Spirit, he equips those who he calls into these offices, and he gives them to the church to mature the church and to help the church grow in faith, to develop into mature Christian people, and to serve him and others in selfless acts of love. And so Andy is one such a person who he has given an office to, the office of minister, as one of the elders of this church. But Jesus himself says that the spirit of biblical leadership is this: whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So office bearers, therefore, are to be humble and in humility be servants of Christ and his people. Yet they should do their work at the same time and paradoxically with authority and with the dignity of Christ whom they represent. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts the one accepts the one who sent me. And so since the days of the apostles, God has called men to be ministers of his word. This is not an office that is higher or lower than that of elder or deacon, but each office has its own special task. And so ministers are elders of the church, but their work is particularly in the preaching and teaching. And so God commands them, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And he says to them, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And so the preaching that a minister of the word has to bring has a twofold purpose. It is to call upon sinners to be reconciled with God through Christ, and to nurture believers in the faith as well as they seek to serve God in his kingdom. So while all of us, every believer, is called to speak up for God, ministers of the word especially are to be seen as Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through them to be reconciled to God. And so therefore, ministers of the word are to see to it that faithful proclamation of the word is their first responsibility. The execution of this task calls for diligent and humble study of God's word. The ministry of the word includes the preaching of the gospel to a doctrine to especially covenant children and others also who profess their faith in Jesus. And so ministers are also called to proclaim the gospel outside of the church in order that all those who have been called by God would be brought to Christ. And so to this end, ministers shall teach the church to be faithful witnesses in the world. Now this involves encouraging people. It also involves admonishing people through the word when we go wrong. So the minister of the word shall build up the church in faith and knowledge and in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are shepherds. And so as a good shepherd watching over the sheep, a minister of the word will challenge and resist all claims of the devil, refute false doctrine, and he will call those who have sinned to repent in faith. To this end they shall see to it that prayer is said for all the people of the church, and as a fellow shepherd with the other elders, he is to pray for his congregation. And so according to the command of Christ, ministers shall administer the sacraments, that is, baptism and the Lord's Supper, because these are these sacraments that God has given us, sign and seals, that he has made a covenant with his people. Finally, ministers are also to be pastors of God's people. And so with word and prayer, they will comfort those who sorrow, they will rejoice with those who rejoice, they will strengthen the weak, they will visit the lonely, minister to the sick, promote sort of biblical foundations in the Christian home, strengthen marriages within the congregation, and together with the elders, exercise oversight over the congregation in order to maintain good order and discipline. They are given the keys to the kingdom, and they are to be used faithfully so that whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So from all this, it is clear that this is not an easy task, a light task. The ministry of the word is a most responsible task. It is something that cannot be done in our own strength. And so I'm very, very pleased with the music selection you have chosen to begin with here, because it really is in Christ alone that a minister serves. And so therefore, a minister is to look to his faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will strengthen him to equip the servants over which he has called them overseer. A minister is to be devoted in prayer to the reading of scriptures for their own edification, and they are to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. They are to watch their life and doctrine clearly, and they are to fan into flame the gift that God has given them. And we're going to be thinking about that a little bit more a bit later. And so we rejoice with you as a classis. We rejoice with you as a church that God has actually provided you one of these men who has to do all these wonderful things in Andy. So as he takes up the mantle to serve you as your pastor and teacher, it is good for us to pause and to pray and thank God that he has provided you with such a man. So let's pray. Lord, you are a God who gives to his church so generously, first and foremost the gift of your Son, for whom we are eternally grateful. And yet you also provide people to strengthen the church. And today we want to celebrate that you have brought this congregation and Andy and his family together so that Andy can take up the mantle of minister of the word and sacraments here within this church. And as their pastor, Lord, we pray that you will equip him with everything he needs. And so as we celebrate this together, we want to pause and just worship you for the fact that you have done all this in your generosity to your people. It is clear, Lord, that you love your church. And so we thank you for that. Amen. So Andy, I'd like to invite you up to come with me, to stand with me. I think that's yours there. Because there's a lot of things we've just said about what it means to be a minister of the word. And so to express... you're a big man and I feel a little bit intimidated too over here. In the presence of God and in this church, you're asked these following questions. Firstly, do you believe that in the call of this congregation to serve as their minister, that you are in fact being called by God himself into this office? Secondly, do you believe that the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament is truly the word of God, and in them the way of salvation is taught completely? Do you accept the confessional standards of the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia as being in harmony with these scriptures? Do you promise to defend the gospel and to reject all teaching that contradicts it, to speak against all injustice and untruth, and to model for these people, for this congregation, God's concern for compassion, for justice, and for peace? And do you promise to faithfully carry out the work of your office, to love the church and all its members, and to live a life worthy of your calling, and in submission to the government of this church and the discipline of this church? What is your answer, brother?
By God's grace and with all my heart, I do.
Great. And so what I'd like to do now is to invite all the elders of the various churches that we have gathered here to come. We're going to lay hands on Andy and to pray that God will especially fill him with the Holy Spirit. So whether you're an elder in this church or a minister or an elder from another church, please join us as we pray for Andy now. And in some ways, it's kind of special that Glenn is here to be able to kind of pass over the mantle as well. So let me pray. Brothers, let's lay our hands on him. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called Andy to this holy office. We pray that you will guide him through your word, that you will equip him with the Holy Spirit, that you will bless the ministry here so that your church may increase, so that the kingdom might grow and be extended, so that your name may be praised. Lord Jesus, we pray that right now you will especially fill Andy with your Holy Spirit, and that through that you will equip him for this most responsible and heavy task. Lord, at the same time, we thank you for the gift that you've given. You are a generous God, and we worship you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So you guys can go have a seat. So congregation, now that I've told them to sit down, I'm going to ask them and all of you to stand with me as well, because we also have questions that pertain to us. So, to express your acceptance of this fine man, you are asked the following questions. Do you, before God and one another, receive Andy as your minister? Do you promise to receive the word of truth from him in love and obedience as he seeks to give you leadership and guidance in the work of the Lord? And do you promise to pray for him, respect and encourage him in his work, and to faithfully work together with him to the honor and glory of Christ? Congregation, what is your response to these questions? Thank you. Please be seated. He's moved his family and now you say no. That's not going to... And so, brother, there are charges for you, things that you have to do. So I charge you, dear brother and fellow servant, whether it is convenient for you or not, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry. Do your best to present yourself as one approved before God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Don't lord it over those that have been entrusted to you, but set an example for them in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and also in purity. Don't be ashamed to testify about your Lord, but take up your share of the suffering for the gospel that is appointed to all those who serve. By the power of God who has saved us and called us to receive that crown of glory that will never fade away. Pray continually for the church. That is your charge. At the same time, congregation, you have a charge as well. I charge you to welcome your minister in the Lord with great joy, to honor men like him. And when you receive God's word through his preaching and teaching, accept it, not as the word of man, but actually as it truly is, the word of God. When you do this, the peace of God will be upon you, and believing in Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. So pray for him, accept him, support and encourage him in all he does as a servant of the Lord. And so I want to pray now again for us, so let's pause as we pray. So our Father in heaven, we thank you for providing faithful and gifted people to minister and upbuild your body here in this church. And so as Andy assumes the responsibility of his office, we pray that you will fill him with your Holy Spirit. We ask that you will equip him with wisdom, that you will give him strength for the task. We pray that he will be a faithful worker in your vineyard. And under his guidance, we pray that your church here will grow in every spiritual grace, that it will grow in faith, that it will be unashamed of the gospel, that it will be committed to service that promotes your reign in the world. Lord, we pray that you will that you will give this congregation a special measure of your grace, so that their attitudes towards this office is not that it is commonplace. We pray that in humble dependence on your grace, we may all come to you with our needs. And so we pray as your people to help us accept Andy's teaching, his leadership over us, and to encourage us always to respect him for the sake of your precious Son, our Lord and King, in whose name we pray. Amen. And so, Reverend Andy, I'd like to officially welcome you to the denomination as one of the office bearers of Minister in Word and Sacrament here. So let's thank God by also giving him a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to hand over to you now, and Andy's going to say some stuff.
Very good. I had a few scrawled notes, so please forgive me for that. I was going to start just by reading from God's Word. If you have Philippians chapter 3 there, just reflecting on Paul's credentials. And he says, I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason for that confidence, I have more. Presbyterian and Reformed. No, it doesn't actually say that. So I was just kidding. But I wanted to go to, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And so for his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. And so for that, that really spoke to me as I read that before. And I'm very thankful that I can rest in the righteousness of Christ and not on my own merits, ordained or otherwise. So today is actually quite a special day for me. It marks 6 months in at One Hope. I started on the 4th of December last year. That's where I played drums in the kids' band. That was my first experience here. New logo and new pastor and new people to get to know, new opportunities for ministry. We moved house in mid-December, and I cannot believe how quickly things have gone. Like 6 months just goes like that. And so I'm very thankful for people's patience with me as I adjust to a whole new role, a whole new denominator of areas, and with a new church. And so I'm really thankful for the support and encouragement of the staff and the leadership here at One Hope, who have been absolutely amazing. And very gracious. It's an incredible privilege to serve together and grow together in kingdom business. It's Eli and Nadia for being on this journey. I wouldn't be here without you. Thanks to those of you who are here today who have supported us and prayed for us and loved us through some interesting times. And I'm really thankful that you're here today. God has answered prayer in a big way in our lives. And so for Chris, for the classes, and for the music team, for the people that have baked a pretty amazing afternoon tea, which is why we're all here. I mean, I'm really thankful. Thank you everyone for being here. I think for me, the lead up to today has just been this opportunity to take stock and reflect on God's great goodness. My prayer is that we would get to know each other more as we roll on in the next 6 months and find our connection and hope in the gospel, to keep discovering the dimensions of God's love for each and every one of us and the one hope that we're all called to. And so I couldn't get through today without reading from Ephesians 4. So God urges each one of us in Christ to walk worthy of the calling that you've received. with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. And that's us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So to God be the glory, and thanks from me for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy. We're just going to reflect. A few of us are going to say a few things, and we just want to, following on from that, just recognise how God has been very good to us. And before we start all that, I'd just like to thank Chris. Chris has been part of Classes for a while, and when a church hasn't ordained pastor, the church is quite kind of terminology, isn't it? Because I think at One Hope we've been far from vacant. We've had the privilege of, you know, ex-ministers and retired ministers who have been part of our congregation. So as far as preaching and just pastoring and being there in leadership support, it's been a massive privilege to have all those people. So we thank you for it. But nevertheless, the classes then allocate someone to be our church counsellor in case we get into trouble. We didn't get into trouble, but anyway, Chris was there to support us in that role. And we just want to thank you for the times that we did actually call on you at times just to discuss things and, you know, whatever. Once, was it? I thought it was more than that. Anyway, it's just good to be part of a wider church network, which our classes is, for that level of support. So we appreciate your efforts there. As a representative of leadership, I just want to take you on a bit of a, I guess, journey over the last 6 months. So as you know, towards the middle of last year, late last year, we went, we kept you up to date with how the selection process was going for a new pastor. And so we in leadership got to understand some of the machinations amongst all of that. And there was a selection committee who were representative of leadership, but also representative of the congregation, which is really great. So those four people went through all the applications and did their evaluation. And then towards the end of it came to us with their recommendation. At the end of the day, leadership is the ones who are commissioned to do that, I guess, and ratifying that together with the rest of the congregation. Anyway, so some of the things that came across our desk, so to speak, was his CV, and one of the first things we recognised that he was from Adelaide. Okay, all right. Happy to entertain that, I guess. Another thing that we found out was that he's Presbyterian minister. Oh boy. It's not getting a lot better here. When we discussed a few things, he actually came and visited leadership, you know, together to talk about a few things. And one of the things when we asked him about his personal life and the things he's interested in, he's an AFL supporter and he supports Hawthorn. I thought, this is it. This is not going well at all. Like all the things that are not really stacking up in favour of this guy coming to our church. But in actual fact, to be really serious, that night that we got together, I think really nailed it for me, because we not only got to see a guy who was totally committed to being a minister of the word, but he was just a personable guy. And I thought, you know, leadership, if we're going to work together and to be part of a congregation, and particularly to pass to a congregation, you need to have those attributes as well. So needless to say, we're rapt to have you here, Andy. It's been, I guess, a journey for us as a church, but, you know, it was worth the wait. And really, I guess we didn't have to wait too long. It's always sobering to kind of recognise, and some churches are vacant for a long period of time, yet you know, we really weren't that vacant. And so we give God thanks and praise him for bringing you and Tammy, Nadia and Eli to us as a family, but particularly because of you, for your pastor work that you'll be doing, have already done for us, and we look forward to the years of future ministry amongst us. So just to, in summary, I guess we just give God thanks for all that he's done in this and orchestrated all these things to enable you to come here. Thanks. Can I ask Isaac to come up? Isaac is a part of CLASSYS. He's actually the chairperson of CLASSYS, and so he's also agreed to say a few words. So thanks, Isaac.
Pleasure. Well, my name is Isaac Overton. I'm from the Reformed Church of Box Hill. For those who don't know, we're part of a group of churches together, Reformed churches, and it's just it's a real delight to be here today. We've been praying for your church. When you were vacant, we were praying that the Lord would provide someone to come and serve for you. And now that Andy and his family have arrived, we've been giving thanks in our church. And so it's just a delight to come here to say hello from Box Hill. And as a chair of CLASSYS this year as well, on behalf of CLASSYS to welcome Andy and to rejoice together with you. As Reformed churches, we've been on a long journey. I've been in the Reformed churches for, a few years, but I'm at Box Hill for 1500s and the 1950s in Australia. And it has been a long journey, multi-generational journey. Many changes, even disagreements at times between churches, but it was just such a delight at the start of this service, wasn't it, to sing together of that which unites us. And that's Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And though we might have differences at various points, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And that's just a huge privilege, isn't it, to remind ourselves that we're not in this alone as churches. We're not satellites. We stand together as part of the body of Christ. And so it's just a privilege to come to welcome you into our CLASSYS, Andy. And to bring greetings on behalf of CLASSYS here to you brothers and sisters here at One Hope. So I'm just gonna pray on behalf of CLASSYS now and commit Andy's ministry and your church to the Lord. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much that you are the shepherd of your people, and Lord, that you provide in every way. And Father, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in your Son, the Lord Jesus, whose blood was shed that we might be purified and cleansed and forgiven. And Father, we thank you that as we go through this life and as we experience the joys, the sorrows, the difficulties, the trials and all the rest of it, Lord, we thank you that you remain with us. Father, we thank you for your ministry to us through other people. We thank you that you do provide pastors and teachers to serve in your church and to declare your word. And so we thank you that Andy has come to this church. We thank you that the church has welcomed him in. And we pray, Lord God, together. We pray as churches in our CLASSYS, in our denomination, that you would be exalted and glorified through Andy's ministry. Lord, we pray that Christ's word and light would shine clearly through him. And Lord, that together as a church, that One Hope would be a church where Christ is known, where Christ is passionately loved, and where Christ is powerfully proclaimed. Lord, we pray that we may see leaps and bounds of your abundant blessing in times to come. Father, we give all praise, all glory, all thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks. Andy, I've just got a little message from Bill and Inika Bosca for you, who are travelling in northern WA at the moment. They attend our church. Yeah, I know, lucky things. They're on the Ningaloo Reef. Like, yay. This has been a day long in the making. We're so glad that the Lord of the Church has caused our paths to converge so that at this time he has given you to us as our pastor to help lead us to be part of his mission for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in Scoresby and beyond. We're glad that you're already a good fit for us with your passion. Hold them into our arms, Tammy, Eli and Nadia. May this day forward be a special reminder of the Lord's provision for our church and denomination. Welcome to ministry in the CRCA. May the Lord continue to equip you and accompany you with the Spirit of Christ and his mighty power to display his glorious grace in declaring and living out the gospel, congregation and leadership team. With lots of love from Bill and Inika.
Thanks, Phil. It was interesting when listening to Chris do the ordination, and it spoke about the Apostle Paul talking about the attributes of, you know, minister of the word and an elder in the church, and the word slave was kind of mentioned there. And you know, today's position descriptions, you know, I'm not sure whether the language slave would kind of work that well, but we'll try and fit it in somewhere there. We're going to take the opportunity also now to welcome Andy and the rest of the family into our church. We've done this before with other people that we welcome them in by way of partnership. And so for those of you who are unfamiliar with what happens here in the church, when people do decide to become part of our church and to be woven into the fabric of our church, it's called partnership. And so it's not membership, there's a distinction there. And we recognise that God calls people into various church communities, but when he does call them, we really believe that it's a partnership arrangement. And it's not just for parents, but it's for children as well. So we want to welcome the whole family, the whole Buchan family, and we just want to take this opportunity to officially and formally welcome them in their church by them becoming partners in our church. Now, typically, you know, when people come to our church, whether they're from another church or from another denomination or even as new Christians, you know, it, you know, takes a little bit of time. Everyone kind of travels their own journey to become a partner. But, you know, generally it's an over a period of, you know, maybe weeks or, you know, a couple of months. But you're probably the first family that's taken 6 months to decide to become. Now, you know, the whole concept of try before you buy is fine, but I think you've overstepped the mark in that. But anyway, we do welcome you into our church, and maybe you guys can come up. And so what we like to do when families come into a church is to just express in their own words what it's going to mean for them to become part of the fold here at One Hope. And I think you're going to do it, Tammy.
I am. I've got something to say. I think he's said enough already. It's my turn. So, I'm a preacher's kid, and I became a preacher's wife. But anyway, I grew up with an intimate understanding that Jesus died for my sins. I was that kid dragging on Dad's arm, begging to go home after church because the lights had already gone out, and I was hungry. And I never missed youth group. I went to a Christian primary school and then a Christian high school. And then I graduated and went to Bible college. And then I quit Bible college to go work at a Christian camp for 2 years. And when I was done with that, I went back to Bible college. So all bar 1 year of my teaching career, I've taught at Christian schools. I've never rebelled spectacularly. And despite the one time I tried, I could never verbally deny Jesus' existence. Model life, huh? Excuse me while I shine my halo. But what I've found, though, is when I look back on various points in my life, I can see a real lack of regard for God. It seems that the older I get, the more convinced I am that I'm not a product of my background. I'm a product of God's grace. I'm not a better person because I didn't do certain things. It's only by God's grace that I didn't do them. And as I walk through walked through a very safe and nurtured childhood, adolescence and young adulthood, I didn't necessarily live like a changed person. I lost my place as well. I had little understanding of God's scandalous love for me. Yet I can see so evidently that he chose me and has kept me close to him. He has bound my wandering heart to him, and sometimes I'm unsettled by the ways that he did that. I'm told to be thankful for my Christian upbringing, and I am, but I reckon it often blinded me to my personal need for Jesus' sacrifice. We like to rank our sin so that we fall into a mediocre place of not quite as bad as him and maybe not quite as good as her. When I create a checklist for my godliness, I can make what God has called me to be attainable. And when I rank my sin, it can seem like I haven't fallen that far. So when I minimise this and minimise that, I'm left with a narrow, small and wrong understanding of God's grace. It's actually huge and wide and immeasurable, and I, Tammy Buchan, need it.
No one else is going to talk, or that's it? Okay. So, it's a privilege that we welcome you into the church. I hope you gathered that I was only joking about the 6 months, but the formality of the ordination needed to occur before the formal part of bringing the partnership here for this wonderful family could happen. And we are immensely grateful that you guys are here. You come as a package. It's not just Andy as our minister, but it's all you guys here. And we feel blessed that you're here as a family package for us. And we hope that we as a church can be a blessing to you guys. And we know it already has been a blessing having you here as part of our church. And we look forward to future days as well. So how about we welcome this family into our church? And we're just going to pray for them as well. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can celebrate you bringing people together. We thank you that as a community here at One Hope, we are blessed that Andy, Tammy, Nadia and Eli could be here and to join us and to be part of your kingdom work here at One Hope. We thank you for each and every one of these people as individuals, for the gifts and talents that they have, and we look forward to being part of our church. And we are immensely blessed that we can have these people join us. And we ask that you'll continue to guard their hearts and their minds, and that as with all of us, that we can continue to be equipped and to be better disciples for you each and every day. Thanks, Father, for your graciousness towards them and to us, and thank you for the privileges and blessings you give us as a community here at One Hope. In your name we pray, amen. So the last thing I'll get you to do is just to sign the certificates over here. That would be good. Thanks. All right. Okay, thanks. Daniel, you're doing the Bible reading, and I invite you to come up.
Our reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 14. Faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in sufferings to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that it has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you.
Thanks, Daniel. I've got one, thanks. A joy to be able to share God's word with you again this afternoon. And it's a particular joy to welcome another minister into ordained ministry in the Reformed churches. Now, I am a little bit of a strange person. I enjoy watching a good debate, which is not something most people get into. But I enjoy it because it is something that you can learn a lot from. So it's kind of this conversation between two people behind lecterns, and then there's an audience that listen to the conversation. And as an audience member, you can learn quite a bit. And it is rare for a sermon to be directed at one person. It happens rarely. And perhaps the closest we come to is a sermon on a wedding day. But that's between two people, not just one. And so really, in a way, we are like that audience in a debate today, in a privileged position to come as a congregation and sit and observe what is really, in some ways, a conversation between God and Andy. Now, I'm not God, but his word is his word, okay? Now, because God actually has a lot to say to ministers, and so today we're going to be looking at one of these passages that is very often used at kind of installation, ordination type services. This is from the second letter to Timothy, and so Timothy was a pastor in a church in Ephesus, and the Apostle Paul has been his mentor, his teacher. He's been training Timothy for some time, and when Paul writes this letter, he's actually in jail. He's pretty much about to be executed for his faith, and so really what we read here is Paul's last words before he dies. It's kind of like a deathbed conversation between Paul and Timothy. And just like any last words, these ones take on special significance. So when we read what Paul has to say to Timothy, we are reading about him instructing Timothy to pass on the gospel to the next generation. And so here in the opening chapter of this letter, Paul wastes no time at all in getting to the point. It says, Timothy, you are to fan into flame the gift of God, the gift of ministry which God has given you. And it's kind of like if you are into camping and, you know, you at night you've got this big roaring fire, you go to bed, in the morning you wake up, there's a couple of coals there left where the fire was, and the picture is that you will blow onto those coals or fan those coals into flame again so that they will catch the warmth, that they will light a new fire. And that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do here. Now, the reason Paul is encouraging Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God is because it seems like Timothy has been, this pastor to Ephesus, is a little bit shy. Paul reminds him that God gave him not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And it's a marvelous reassurance and a reminder to this young pastor that the Lord himself is the one who strengthens him, who sustains him, who, I guess, brings the heat to the coal. God gave his spirit to Timothy. He indwelt Timothy. And because the Holy Spirit was giving him strength, he actually had everything he needed to do the work of being a pastor in Ephesus. Now, you've known Andy now for 6 months, and Andy, we are just getting to know you as a denomination. But having been part of your ordination examination, having had a coffee a few times, you don't come across as shy or timid, perhaps as Timothy did. But the same encouragement that was true of Timothy in his timidity and shyness is still an encouragement for you, brother. Every day in your ministry, it is God who sustains you. It is God who strengthens you. It is God whose work you are actually doing. Strength. Andy is a particularly gifted man. He can preach well. He plays drums in a kids band, apparently. He has spiritual gifts that the Lord has given him. And so there's a temptation for us in this kind of role to be seen, to think of ministry as something that is done by us. It's something that we do. But brother, as you know, we are but instruments. We are the drums, if you like. We are but tools in God's service. And because we are but tools in God's service, it is a great encouragement that we have the Lord Jesus in us, that it is the same Holy Spirit that indwelled Timothy that indwells us. It is the same Spirit that empowered Timothy, which will empower your work, that equips you, strengthens you, empowers you, and allows you to do the work of a minister here at One Hope. And I think there's great comfort, actually, in that. Because that means that the fruit of your ministry doesn't actually depend on you. Now, let's not be silly or stupid. Obviously, you are responsible for the tasks that God has given you. You promised in your ordination vows that you're going to faithfully do this work. Obviously, you're responsible for those things. But the fruit of taking up that dutiful task actually depends on God. And I think that's wonderfully freeing, because you are set free to be able to do the work faithfully and diligently without, in a sense, having to walk. It means you can get into those awkward and difficult conversations with people, because whether or not people like you, in the end, doesn't matter. Your responsibility is faithfulness, obedience to the call that God has given you. And the fruit of your ministry depends on the Spirit that empowers your ministry. You are just a tool. I think that's wonderfully freeing. It's not often you get to call someone a tool from the front, but I too am a tool. So fan into flame that coal of the gospel work. That is an ongoing task. You know, there's a sense of a continuous action here. You've got to stoke that fire. Now, how do we actually do that? Well, we need to build a reservoir, build up our reservoir of emotional strength by a strong relationship in the Lord. Again, brother, I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. You've been in the ministry longer than I have. But you can only offer people the love of Christ that you actually have. You cannot give them what you don't have. You cannot share a zeal for Jesus if you don't have a deep and growing zeal for Christ. You can't share Jesus' love if you don't have a relationship of love with him. You cannot fan into flame a coal that is already dead. Now, friends, this is for you. This means that one of the most loving things you can do for this man, spend time with his Lord, to allow him to grow in the Word. He is to fill his heart and his mind with the Spirit of truth and love of the Lord that saved him, who rescued him, and has now called him into the task of this church. One of the most loving things you can do, both for Andy and for yourself, is therefore not to overload him so much with the work of you need to free him to have devotional and relational time with the Lord. Make it a priority in his work schedule. Give him the space to take days to retreat and spend time with the Lord. Love him enough to give him the time to fan into flame the ministry for you. A dead coal is no good to anyone. It's no good. So, let his love for the Lord carry you as a congregation. He will serve you well if he loves the Lord, if he has time to spend on his relationship. Set him free to fan into flame his gift. Now, why was Timothy to fan into flame this gift? Now, I think Paul gives us two temptations that lurk in the shadows here, and they have different sources. The one temptation, and the one of the reasons why Timothy was to fan into flame this gift, comes from outside, and the other temptation comes from inside. Now, the outside temptation, I think, is one that all ministers of the gospel actually face, and that is to shirk to those of us who have a calling to preach. He says here, for example, in verse 8, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering of the gospel." Now, I think the reason Paul is saying this here is he's acknowledging the fact that there is a temptation for us to be ashamed of the gospel. Being a gospel proclaimer exposes you. When you proclaim a kingdom different to the kingdom that runs this world, you are exposed. When you do work that fights against the kingdom and the powers and the principalities of this world, you are exposed. When you stand up in front of people and tell them you are hopeless and terrible sinners and you need to repent, you are exposed, and that's true. You will be exposed to ridicule. You'll be exposed to persecution. Like Paul, perhaps you might be exposed to ultimately execution. And when you keep telling people that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then you are proclaiming a kingdom different to the one that the world thinks is in place. So gospel ministry is joining with God's mission of unfolding his reign over the earth. And you have been called according to Jesus' own purpose. But with that calling comes enemies and exposure. Ministers of the word are targets. And so we are tempted to be ashamed of the message that we share. Paul shows us what suffering can look like. Here he is in chains for the gospel. He's imprisoned because of his message. And shortly hereafter, he will actually be executed and killed for the gospel. There is an external temptation to be ashamed of the message. Fear about what could happen to us if we spoke the truth boldly. But I think, and for that reason, Timothy is to fan into flame his relationship with the Lord. But I think for most of us, the internal temptation is actually the more dangerous one, because it's far more subtle. The temptation is to water down the truth, to be hesitant to stand up for the truth of Scripture. We can be tempted to put it in an inoffensive way, or to not preach those parts of Scripture which teach doctrines that are unpopular, to skip over those bits of the Bible that will get you into trouble. And in fact, later in 2 Timothy, Paul specifically addresses this issue in chapter 4. He says, "Preach the word, be in season, ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching." Why? Because a time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. But having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who will suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they'll wander off into myths. But as for you, be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Throughout history, there have been many times when people did not want to tolerate sound doctrine, where people have gathered around them preachers and teachers who will preach what their itchy ears want to hear. This time where we live is perhaps like never before one such a time. And the church in many places has become weak. The gospel has become diluted to the point where it is no gospel at all. Where Jesus is presented as a gateway to God, giving you everything you want. And if you would just have enough faith to claim and manifest your deep desires, then God would fulfill them. But brother, that is not what you are called to preach. You can fill a stadium with that kind of preaching, but that's not for you. So will you be an itchy ears teacher or a true gospel preacher? And it is perhaps for this reason that James warns us, "Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we will be judged with greater strictness." So, Brother Andy, you are called here into ministry in this church. This is a high calling, a calling to proclaim the truth of Scripture, to preach the whole of the Bible, to teach these people the truth unashamedly. And so where do you get the power to do this work? Where do you get the strength to do, as Paul says, to guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you? Paul gives us the answer in the last verse. He says, "By the Holy Spirit that indwells you, guard the good deposit. It is through the Holy Spirit living in you that you do not do this ministry alone. And in fact, you cannot do it alone. This is why the Holy Spirit actually indwells you, so that he changes your heart. He points you ever Christward. He convinces you of your need for salvation. He convicts you of your own sin, and he turns your heart to cry again to God and to cry for mercy, to give you the faith, to repent and believe. And as he changes you day by day and empowers you, you will grow in holiness. And he will make you grow more and more into the image of Christ. And he will transform the words you say from this pulpit to make them alive into the ears of these people. And he will make you bear the fruit of the Spirit. He is the one who will remind you daily to cast your eyes to Jesus, captivated by the work of Christ on the cross, that you will be able to serve him despite all those temptations. And he is the one who will turn your eyes to Jesus again to give you strength when the inevitable disappointment of ministry comes. And he is the one who will empower you every day to come again to the foot of the cross and to experience anew the mercies of our Lord. What a gift you have. What a gift all of us have when we have the Holy Spirit. And so, Andy, if you have all of that, what else do you need? Right? So as you take up the mantle of minister of word and sacraments here at One Hope, as Paul did with Timothy, I want to encourage you with these words. In the presence of God in this congregation, fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Don't fall to the temptation that comes from outside, that proclaiming the gospel is dangerous or offensive. Don't fall to the internal temptation to water down the truths of Scripture because of shame. In all things, remember, brother, to guard the good deposit through the power of the Holy Spirit, which lives in you. Because when you do that, you will serve this church well. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you once again as this service starts coming to a close that we get to celebrate the ordination of Andy here and the gift that you've given to this church. Use this time, Lord, to sharpen him, but also that you, through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, will empower him with everything he needs for this ministry. What a gift you have given him, and what a gift you have given this church in him. And so we praise you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to respond by standing and singing now, In Christ Alone. Stand as we sing.